45 more seconds. Come on. So just lift up your hands this morning. Amen. Just lift up your hands in the sanctuary and just pray. Come on, about 30 more seconds. Roma bokoria rabasa shototi araba babokoria rabaya taya. Si Roma bobokoria radaya tiarama babaso shoti arababasasha.
Yes, that's good. Amen. When we go to China, they pray. If the meeting starts at 8 a.m., they pray from 5 to 8 in tongues. They come 3 hours before the service. They just pray in the heavenly language. And I just believe there's something about the prayer language that's so important. I think there's an intel from heaven that comes to us. There are concepts and ideas that come when we're praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is there an amen in this room? Is there a hallelujah in this room? Can somebody say thank you, Jesus, in this room? Can you lift up both your hands and say praise the Lord? Okay, all right. I just got to make sure I'm in praise church up in here. Amen. Somebody say praise. I have my son-in-law here. This is Gabriel, and he's married to our eldest daughter, Haley, if you could stand. Haley's here, and they're married 4 years now, and they are our worship pastors down in Texas, in Killeen, Texas, and thank God for them. So he might play a little bit behind. I heard they have like a Hammond in there, so if I get preaching, you might want to find that number. You have to find it. Maybe for tonight, you give me a little, we'll have fun, but my wife, Marlena, is here. We'll be married 27 years in two weeks, so that's awesome. And our youngest daughter, Hope Jaslyn, is here. She'll be 16 this year. And then I was thinking about you, and the scripture came to me, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. And so I brought my brother. You could probably see the resemblance. Pastors Derek and Heather Shepherd. Heather and I, we go back, as far in my life, the longest of any of my people, we go back, we were in nursery together in church as babies. And so we go way back. And Pastor Derek and Heather, they have five sons and daughter-in-law's on the way and all these things going on. And so they're blessed. And he's originally from Texas and pastored with us in California. And then we moved to Texas and now we're pastoring in Texas. And so they say Texas is God's country. I don't know. But we bring greetings to you from our church, Karis Church in Texas. We're in north of Austin, about 50 minutes or so. And we're just seeing a mighty move of God take place. People getting saved every single week. And water, we just had 71 people get water baptized. That was fun. And they're jumping in. And we have, like I've told you before, we're by an army base, the largest army base in North America. And it's about the size of the state of Delaware. And it's like a centurion church. I mean, these people are just say the word and it shall be done. And what it's created is an atmosphere for miracles. It's an atmosphere of faith. And I believe there's an atmosphere of faith in this room right now. Is there faith in this room? I just have a funny feeling that God can do anything. And he's up to some big business right now in this conference. You came up here. What's this called? Supernatural invasion. I like that. And God is coming. He's going to move in this time in a powerful way. So I bring greetings to you, to our wonderful pastors. How many love the pastors? The Bilbos. Amen. And the Rasmussens. And then the other Bilbos. And the whole family here. It's just a wonderful to not just call you all friends, but family. And I've been in your church many times, and it's just a family deal for us. And we're just so honored to be walking with you. And can't wait to see what God's going to do. Because my Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And I'll tell you, when you were leading worship here this morning, the glory of the Lord just kind of just slipped into this room. I feel the glory of God in this room. And it's amazing because God begins to make us cognizant of the glory, but then all of a sudden we're carriers of the glory. and we're couriers of the glory. And everywhere we go, we're spreading the glory of God everywhere you go, because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you are a container of God's glory. And when His glory shows up, things take place. Change happens. He justifies the geography. All of a sudden, mountains come down, and valleys are lifted up, and crooked places are made straight, and rough places are made smooth. I think God's about to do some things like that here this morning. And not just here, but the scripture goes on and says, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. It's going to be revealed, and all flesh is going to see it together. And so the glory of the Lord is revealed in this room. There's a supernatural invasion that's about to take place on today. Is somebody ready for it? I said, is somebody ready for it? There's an amen in this room. I was just preaching in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon. I told the church, I said, I don't need you to say amen to make me feel good. I've preached about 4,000 times now. I'm over that. And so I don't need your amen. I don't need affirmation at all. I'll just preach to the rocks, and they'll cry out if somebody doesn't cry out. But there's something about an amen. It means let it be. It's an agreement with the word of God. And so you have to say it with your mouth. You open up your mouth and you come into agreement and say, God, let it be. Let it happen. Make it happen in my life. Can somebody say amen? Come on, somebody say amen. All right, good. I'm just warming up. I'm taking a look at you prophetically. I'm just kind of gauging the room and seeing where you're at. And I just believe that there's some people who are ready for some things. You're ready to see. And here's the word of the Lord for the month of March. This is a month of fulfillment. Okay, I got two amens, one here and one here. This is a month of prophetic fulfillment. Does anyone in this room have a prophecy before? God's given you a prophecy, either individually or corporately. God's given you a promise. He's given you a word. Well, let me tell you something. I stepped into this month. It was March, because, you know, today's March 4th, and it's a great military day, because marching forth into victory, amen? And somebody's about to march forth into 2025, and I know we're already in a few weeks into 2025, but 2025 is going to be a year where we're going to march forward. But I heard the Lord say, as we stepped into March on March 1st, He said, this is a month of prophetic fulfillment. Okay, I got four more amens. This is a month, somebody's in agreement with this, of prophetic fulfillment. And so you're like Mary, after Gabriel comes to her and she says, let there be a performance of that which was spoken. What you said, I'm coming into agreement with it, and I'm like, bring it on. Let's do this, baby. Come on. And then she had a baby, of course. But let there be a performance of that which is spoken. So somebody say, amen. And so as we go into this today, we're gonna read a verse together. But before we do, did you get my verse? Okay, I'm not gonna read it yet, but I'm gonna just share something that I feel like God's doing here in this time. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to kind of weave between prophetic preaching, prophesying, and a little bit of pre-teaching, okay? Is that okay? I woke up this morning, and the Lord shifted everything, first of all. I was going to go to 2 Kings, and maybe I'll get to that tonight. But the Lord took me back to Genesis. Before He took me to Genesis, He took me to Judges chapter 1. If you understand something about the book of Judges, and here's my Bible college knowledge coming out for somebody. The book of Judges is about a 400-year period of time where Israel was caught in a cycle, probably 14, some people say 16 different cycles. They just repeated the same thing over and over, where everything was good, everything was fine, and then they fell into sin, and they were around the other gods of the people that were around them, and they picked those traits up, and they started serving those gods. So they fell into sin. And because of sin, they fell into servitude, and they had to serve those gods and serve them. They were enslaved at that moment, and after a while, they got tired of being servants of those other nations, and so they began to cry out to God. It's what we call supplication. They began to cry out to God. So sin, servitude, supplication, and then God sent a savior, what we call a savior, a little s, savior, a judge who would come and deliver them, and then the land would rest. And so they repeated the cycle over and over. Sin, servitude, supplication, Savior, rest. You'd think after about two or three rounds of that, you'd get tired of it. But for some reason, we don't learn. And so that's what the book of Judges is all about. But at the beginning of the book of Judges, it's amazing because, and the Lord showed me this morning, I was like, whoa, at the beginning in chapter one, there's a secret. Can somebody say a secret? There's a spiritual secret that would have stopped them from having to go through the cycles. And I believe that God in this hour, in this country, and in His church is going to break people out of cycles, out of maintenance mode, out of, oh my gosh, we've gone around this mountain again. And he's bringing us to a place where we're actually going to march forth. We're not going to go in circles, but we're going to march forth. We're not walking in the wilderness, but we're going to march forth. We're not going to go around worrying and wondering, but we're going to march forth. Today's March 4th. And the secret was this. The very first battle came. Joshua had passed. And the next generation had to rise up. And there's a lot to this, but the scripture says that at that moment, the tribe of Judah rose up. Now, I don't know if you know this, but your other name in the spirit is the tribe of Judah. Did you know this? Did you know that your name is praise? And Judah means praise? And so the biblical name of this house also, your other name, is the tribe of Judah. How many know who Jesus is? He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, there's an amen somewhere here up in here. Let the drums cry out in Jesus' name. And so you look in that scripture, and the scripture says this. Somebody say praise. Judah rises up in chapter 1. And I believe this is a secret for the entire book of Judges that they missed. And I don't want to miss it. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss one thing that God is doing in this hour. And so you look in that chapter, and it says Judah went and he got his brother, the other tribe called Simeon. Oh, somebody's going to catch this in a minute. He got him and the two of them, one of us can put 1,000 to flight. Can I preach down here? And two of us, 10,000. So all of a sudden, when I get together with Brandon, Pastor Brandon and I, he by myself, I can take out 1,000. But when the two of us come together, there's compounded interest. There's a multiplication that takes place. One plus one equals 10,000. God's math is higher than our math. Five loaves and two fish equal 5,000. God's math is higher than our math. And so when we get together and we fight together, we can take out enemies that I cannot take out by myself and he can't take out by himself. But when we get together, can somebody say when we get together, we begin to fight enemies and take out foes that it's just unimaginable what God wants to do. And so you look in that scripture, and I want you to catch this because here's the key to the victory. When a praising mouth, and Simeon means a hearing ear. When a praising mouth, woo, and a hearing ear, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord, Romans 10:17. And a hearing ear is an ear that is tuned to the prophetic. It is tuned to the voice of God. And so you bring praise and the prophetic together and enemies come down. And when I woke up this morning, the Lord told me this. The morning meeting is about hearing. Somebody say hearing. And the night meeting is about seeing. Can somebody say seeing? Tonight there's going to be some demonstration. God's going to move in this room in a mighty way. But the Lord said before the seeing, you got to have the hearing. See, the world says, I'll believe it when I see it. But in the kingdom, we see it when we believe it. And so you got to hear a word to stir up your faith, because then you're going to move into the dimension of seeing what God said come to pass. March is
the month of prophetic fulfillment, and it starts right now. It started this weekend while you've been here. You've turned over from the month of February, and you didn't even realize you were coming to this conference up here at the Dollywood Dream More. And you actually were dreaming, and you were stepping into a brand new month and season of prophetic fulfillment. Because guess what? There's a thing called prophetic frustration. And there's a thing called prophetic disappointment. And sometimes the disappointment is because we have a lack of revelation of prophetic responsibility. That when God gives us a word, we actually have to wait. And we have to work, and we have to believe, and we have to get certified sometimes, and we have to get educated sometimes. We have to get ready sometimes, and sometimes we're just waiting around for God to do something that He told us to do. Ah. And so you came into this conference, and this is a moment of prophetic fulfillment. Can somebody say hearing? Okay, the Lord gave me four R's. I'm going to read this verse. He gave me four R's. I'll get to the R's, but let's read this verse. Let me read this verse. If you could stand with me for the reading of the Word. We're going to read Genesis chapter 26. I want to share with you a familiar story that's going to lead me to a prophetic word. Is that okay? Sometimes the Scripture is actually an on-ramp to a prophetic insight that releases us into a whole new era. Are you ready to move into a whole new era? Okay. Do we have the scripture? Genesis chapter 26. And what translation do we have? King James. Okay, good. Verses 23 through 25. Ready? And he, hold on one second. What's his name? His name is Isaac. We're talking about Isaac. His name means what? Laughter. Can somebody say laughter? Can I speak some laughter in this room? Can I speak some joy in this room? A joy beyond speech, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that comes in the morning after weeping has been all night long. You've been weeping and you've been grieving and you've been mourning. But God says today is a day of joy. I'm releasing joy. You woke up into joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can somebody say ha, ha, ha? Ho, ho, ho? He, he, he. Come on, try that again. Ha, ha, ha? Ho, ho, ho? He, he, he. There's a laughter. There is a laughter. He was one who was born out of barrenness. And God broke the barrenness. And so here we have a child who maybe in the natural should not have been born. Can you imagine? That's a subject right there. God bringing things out of nothing. Ex nihilo. He brings things out of nothing. And here we have this one, Isaac, who is the son of promise. And it says in the scripture, let's read this together real loud, outside voices. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Somebody say Beersheba. Beersheba. He went up from thence to Beersheba. What did the rest of the verse say? Did I miss the one part? No, go back to 23. Oh, that was it. Oh, I'm sorry. It said Genesis 2. My bad. Please forgive me. He went up thence to Beersheba, and ready? And the Lord appeared unto him the same night. Somebody say, on tonight. And said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. Somebody needs to hear that word right now. You're not alone. God is with you. For I am with thee and will bless thee. Somebody needs to hear that word right now. I woke up this morning, I heard the Lord say, make an announcement in this house that the rest of 25 is going to be, there's going to be waves of blessing. I don't know how to say this, Pastor Garland, because I had to really just check this through my prophetic filter of what I heard this morning. But I heard the Lord say, how do I say this? I'll use it from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, especially from the Message translation. But in other translations also, it says, what does Boaz say to his servant? He said, give her heaps on purpose. And then it says, make it easy for her. And I heard the Lord say in this ministry, this is what God's doing in 2025. He's giving you heaps of blessing on purpose. There's a purposeful, intentional
Oh, there's an amen somewhere again. Deliberate blessing of the Lord that's being released on this house and on this ministry. And then he says this in the message. He says, and make it easy for her. This is going to be the most fruitful. You're going to be looking like, where's the attack? Shouldn't there be a backlash after this? Usually there's a backlash after this. We get back from conference and it's like, oh my gosh, there's warfare. But the Lord's making a declaration over you, and somebody's got to grab this, take this right now, because there's going to be waves and 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 waves of blessing. Woo! The prophetic is flowing in this room right now. I can feel in my spirit there's just waves billowing over you of the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich and adds no sorrow. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And at verse 25, the last one, and he builded an altar to him, built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. He built an altar. We're going to build an altar here today. And we're going to call on the name of the Lord here today. And we're going to pitch a tent here today. There's a tent. Woo! In Pigeon Forge. It's not a permanent place. It's an in-between place. But nonetheless, it's a dwelling place. And it says there, and there they dug a well in that place. What's the name of the place? Beersheba. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in this time. We thank you for this house, and all three houses that are represented in this room. And Lord, we thank you that waves of blessing are coming in this time. And that this is a moment where your presence is here and you're moving, you're appearing before us now. You're coming into this room. There's a supernatural invasion and you are appearing in this place. Lord, open up our eyes, open up our lives, our hearts for us. We want to receive what you're doing in this time. And so move, we pray, in Jesus' name. We open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to this house in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you can. I want you to know that this is all a setup. Did you hear that? Your life is a setup. Your story is a setup. Your journey is a setup. The Holy Spirit's in the details. The devil's not in the details. And it's a setup. And you're about to move up into what he has stored up. It's a setup. What God's doing in this time, it's exciting. This is the most exciting time in history. Where's the lady? Oh, you're drinking right there. You got, stand up. Stand up. You got your coffee. Yeah. You're taking a sip. Just lift up your hands. I heard the Lord speak a word, promotion over you. Talk about warfare. You've had seasons of warfare, and it's taught you how to fight. You know how to fight. You understand that the fight that you've experienced is not flesh and blood, but you deal in a spiritual dimension, and the weapons God has given to you are not carnal, but they're mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds. And the Lord says, I see the word faithful that's written over you, and you've been faithful, and you've kept in a posture of believing, and you've said, God, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it's going to work out. And there's just a level of faith that God has brought you to in your journey. And the Lord says, I'm going to now open doors that no man can shut. You talk about waves of blessing. The blessing of the Lord's coming upon you. And there are people who've stepped over you. There's people who have forgotten you. There's people that had disappointed you. But the Spirit of the Lord says, this is your moment. I also see the word ready over you. There's a readiness. There's a readiness because of you've been battle tested and you've been proven. And now the Spirit of the Lord says, watch and see, because I'm going to cause your voice to be amplified. I'm going to cause the ideas and thoughts and concepts that you have for people to understand them now and to hear them now. And actually, they're going to be breakthrough. You're going to have breakthrough concepts and ideas in your, even in your workplace, says the Spirit of the Lord. And it's going to actually change the atmosphere. Ha, you are an atmosphere changer. You change atmosphere everywhere you go. It could be gloomy, it could be down, it could be dark, it could be dreary. But when you step into the room, everything changes. It's like you carry the S-O-N, you bring the sun, S-O-N, shine everywhere you go. And so now the Lord says, I'm causing blessing to be released, and it's going to be monetary as well. The Lord says, finances are going to come your way, mighty woman of God. For the promotion isn't just about a jump up in position, but it's also a jump up in your finances. And so watch and see, because God's clearing whole years, years, years. I will restore the years that the enemy has tried to eat and steal and take away. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, mighty woman of God, and he causes, watch this, a shalom, a rest to come right down to the cellular level of your body, right down to your soul, to your mind, to your heart, to your thoughts. Every bit of you, your spirit is rejoicing right now, because the Spirit of the Lord is causing the shalom of his Spirit to be released in your life. Peace, 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 peace. The warfare is done. Peace has arrived. You're going to move from the posture of peace. You're going to make decisions from the posture of peace. You're going to rule from the posture of peace. Peace. Peace creates poise. And peace releases provision. Peace, woo, causes you to step into promotion, says the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. Amen. Woo, hararako sa shatai. Hi arabaso shoto rama baraba sa koraba sa shoto. Si arama babaso shoto ti arama babasa shataya. Woo. Back at our church in Texas, I mean, we're just seeing a move of God. I mean, people getting saved every single week. And it's like the Lord just tapped me on the shoulder and was like, you know, do you want to do this? You know, do you want to preach and be known, or do you want me to be known? And I have this deal with the Lord. Every service I'm in, we do a salvation call. And then now all of a sudden, I don't even know what to think of this, Pastor Garland, but every service, we have to pull out the garbage can because people are getting delivered. And it's not just sometimes one, it's two, three, four people. I mean, just, you don't know where it is that you guys are there. And you know if it's in the middle of the room or if it's in the front of the room or on the side of the room. But the presence of the Lord is dropping in such a way. I can feel the glory of God in this room. It's dropping in such a way where just all of a sudden things begin to start manifesting and people are walking out free and it's amazing. That Psalm 107, 19 and 20 has just become our scripture where he came and he saved them. And we're seeing souls saved. Almost 200 people now already this year have been saved in the altars on Sunday mornings. And then we're not only seeing them saved, but then it says, and then he sent his word, verse 20, and he healed them of all their diseases. We just, 2 weeks ago, had our 12th cancer in the last 12 months confirmed by the doctors get healed. A lady with 20 tumors in her bowel, in her intestines, went to the doctor. We prayed for her. She went to the doctor. In fact, she interrupted the service, didn't she? We were praying for somebody else, and she ran up, and she said, I have to tell everybody. And she interrupted the service, and it's like, what is happening, Lord? There's people interrupting services. Security in other places probably would have tackled her, you know. But she came up, and she said, I have to share this, but I went to the doctor this week, and they can't find one tumor. And they said that my cancer, they tested me, and the cancer is completely gone. And so people are getting healed. I mean, I could just share testimony after testimony. There's a lady, she's like 80 years of age in our church, her spine popped in the middle of the service, and the worship just popped into place. And she had a herniated disc, and they were talking about doing surgery. And that's another thing. We've had like close to 30 surgeries canceled. And I got doctors in the room. This is wild stuff. Canceled. Literally canceled. And then people getting delivered. So it says he sent his word to heal them of all of their diseases, and he delivered them from their destructions, was trying to destroy them. And I tell you, it's when the glory of the Lord comes into the room. And I just felt that same glory, because it's not just about where we are and what we're doing. That same glory is in this room. You all were singing. I don't even know what you were singing this morning. I was just swept away because the glory of the Lord is in this place. You know something, man of God? Are you together? Here, stand up. Stand up, because it's time to rise up. And not just standing up as I told you to. You're rising up because this is your season to rise up. God's causing the two of you to stand up. This is your posture in this season. You're standing before the Lord. You're standing before His presence. And one of the things I heard the Lord say was, bring them in. There's a harvest of people, whole companies of people that you know need what is happening in this house. And it's like there are literally families. There are, sir, I don't know how else to say it. You know some hardheads. You know some people out there, they're just straight hardcore, but they respect you. They respect you. They respect the two of you because you have made your decisions and you've moved forward in the purpose of God. And so even this time, the Lord says, I'm going to cause even an evangelistic anointing to rest upon the two of you. And I seen just like the two of you with a net on either side. You're on one side, he's on the other side, and you're pulling in fish. You're pulling in a harvest. You're pulling in souls. And what I see is you're pulling them out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. The Lord even causes even this time to, even as I spoke over her, years to be restored, man of God. Years that the enemy tried to steal. There's no regret. There is no shame. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you are in Christ Jesus. And the Lord says, I'm going to bless your house. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless everything you put your hands to do. This is going to be a year where you're going to see the momentum of God's Spirit in your life. You two have made your decision. It's almost as if I'm standing before two people. You're like a tag team in the Spirit. Join hands together. Join hands together because you're like a, I don't know how to say it. You know, Batman and Robin, they called them a dynamic duo. You are a dynamic duo in the Spirit. And it's like, man of God, here's what I see on him. This crazy, radical, fearless. Because when you were in the world, you were fearless. You were cray cray, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you are fearless in the Spirit. And I see this evangelistic anointing on you. And woman of God, there's this prophetic discernment, word of knowledge gift that God's given you. And so you know it because she'll be telling you details about people's lives. And you're like, how do you know that? And she's like, I just know that. That's not called women's intuition. That's called the prophetic move of the Holy Spirit. And God has given you a prophetic insight. You have a keen eye, and the two of you are going to be moved with compassion. You have big hearts. And so I see the Lord blessing the two of you in this time, even financially. I see a big house. I don't know how else to describe it, but I see a big house because you used to know how to throw parties back in the day for the wrong reasons. But now you're going to throw parties for the kingdom. And people are going to come into your house, and they're going to be fed well because you like some good food, and they're going to be in the right atmosphere, and they're going to find peace and joy and love that the world can't give and the world can't take away. And so the blessing of the Lord is being released upon the two of you today. Can somebody say amen and praise the Lord? Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! All right, let's try and preach here, I think, maybe. I don't know. I might look up and Lord show me something about somebody else. But that's all right. Is this all right? Just kind of freestyling, freewheeling up in here. All right. Go Tigers. There's the Go Tigers over there, I see. Then I got Michigan over here. I mean, you know, we got some representation. We're representing UT up in here. UT today? No, you're Karis University. All right. woo. Well, let's talk about this scripture for a moment. It says in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 26, there was a famine in the land, just like in the days of Abraham. There are different famines in scripture. There's about 8 famines in scripture that you'll find. And you'll find that whenever, how do you say this nicely? Whenever a famine takes place, like in the book of Ruth, you see another one. Whenever a famine takes place, you'll find that people make poor decisions. People will make decisions that will alter their lives. Like Elimelech and Naomi, they left Bethlehem, the house of bread, and they went to a place called Moab, which means who's your daddy? Mo, meaning who is, and Abba, father, who is your daddy? I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave the house of bread, even in a time of famine. I'd rather be in a place called the house of bread, because the first place where bread is going to return, even in a time of famine, is the house of bread, not in a place called who's your daddy. And if your name is Elimelech, by the way, your name means my father is the king. So why in the world would you, knowing with your name my daddy is the king, why would you go to a place called who's your daddy? You know who your daddy is. But in the famine, sometimes people make poor decisions. People make decisions out of their character. They do things out of what they know is true and what's been established in their life. And so in the time of famine, you have to be careful to ask God to lead you and to place you and to plant you, and he will take care of you. Do you want me to say this? Somebody needs to hear this. He will take care of you in the place of lack. Because in the place of lack, he has your back. And he wants to prove himself sometimes, not just when everything's going good and everything's fancy. I know some people who know what I'm talking about. And everything's just wonderful. But he proves himself because he's the God of every season. He's a God of winter, spring, summer, and fall. All you got to do is call. And I'll be there. He's there. He's there at every season. And in famine, we have this scripture where we have another famine in the Bible. And it says in this scripture that that's when the Lord appeared to Isaac. And in verse 2, he said, here's what happens. See, there's this appearance, there's this supernatural invasions of God. And he appears to Isaac and he says, I don't want you to do what your daddy did. You don't need to repeat what other generations did. I want you to listen to what I want you to. I want you to actually stay put right where you are in this season for this moment. Don't go down to Egypt. And so you look in that scripture and you get to verse 6. And so the Bible says, watch this. This is going to be a good one. So Isaac, laughter, dwelt in the land of Gerar. Somebody say Gerar. Gerar in the Hebrew means to bring up the cud. Why does God allow us to land in certain places that don't make sense to us? Maybe because he brings us there because he wants to bring up the cud. I didn't get any amens on that. Has anyone ever been in a place, in a season, in a moment, in a time frame in your life where it felt like God was bringing everything up to the surface? Because he's like, guess what, baby? Where you are going, you cannot carry what you've been carrying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so depression can't go.